Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. And this is an actual wrestling podcast because we're not doing sports entertainment here. We're doing NWA. We're doing AEW. We're going to do a little bit of Impact.
We're men wrestling.
We're waiting on a couple of participants to come on in, but we're going to get started anyway. And then we'll be adding voices as we go along. Jared should be here at some point. Ray should be in here at some point. And right now it's me and Justin talking about NWA's Power Hour. It started out
with the greatest intro song in wrestling currently.
Dokken.
I'm going to say it right now.
I love Dokken. Yeah. Into the fire.
Yeah.
Dude. So good. So good. So you fired up already because they've been singing about fire already.
Yeah.
You
start out with rock and roll, and then you lead in with the Rock and Roll Express,
who are in such high demand.
Those guys have getting booked more now than they have ever been booked in their career.
They come out and put over Eddie a little bit, and Eddie comes out and puts them over big time.
Oh, yeah. It cracks me up, though, because if I was going to pick people to hang out together in the back, those four would not be my pick, but now I think it's the greatest thing ever.
And I feel like, Eddie and Homicide have been on indie circuits and Impact enough.
Yes.
That they probably have run the roads with the Rock and Roll Express. I would guess the Rock and Roll Express is not currently running the roads like they did at one time. But they've probably been in restaurants together.
Oh, yes.
Backstage, sitting around
waiting. They've been in Shoney's or two.
Many Shoney's. Okay, so we're going to get Eddie and Homicide in a tag match later in the episode, I believe. Is that right?
Yep, against the wild cards for the Tag Team Championships. And Eddie says there's no way we can lose the Rock and Roll Express on our side, which is just, why are you jinxing yourself?
Why would you do that? It's no hitter.
Why would you do it?
Hey, man, you haven't given up any hits, and it's the ninth.
Yeah, dude.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to retire in 6 weeks.
Murdoch is out there with Haley Comet, I think is the name.
Caleb Conley. Haley Comet would have been better.
Haley's Comet would be a great wrestling
name.
And a finisher.
Yes.
One of our producers' names is Haley. So she could be maybe a Comet of some kind.
That is her finisher now.
That is her finisher.
We've decided this.
Pretty much a squash match with Murdoch.
Yeah, the guy had some offense. Yeah, Murdoch, man. Know about them shorts, but everything else I love about him. He's so fun to watch, dude.
I like the shorts because they look like diapers.
Yes, dude.
And to see a man pummel somebody with diapers is awesome.
And he feels confident about it. And he doesn't wear knee pads, does he? He's one of the weirdos.
No, he just looks... It
contributes to the weirdness level, I'm going to say.
Right. He does not... And he'll say it. You know, I don't look like...
Yeah.
He's Dusty Rhodes. I don't... You know, yeah. My butt may be a little too big, all that.
Yes.
But by the same token, He beats people up. Yeah. And he's big enough that he can do that.
He looks like Harley Race's disciple, which is always Bill Lamb.
And I guess Cornette kept mentioning Harley Race because he sees the resemblance, too.
Oh, yeah. His whole shtick is pretty Harley Race, I would say.
That's awesome. Okay. Aaron Stevens comes out with the Shakespeare, some form of a Shakespeare, but the pants weren't there.
No, it was the Emperor's new clothes was what he's wearing below. It looked like he was wearing those new trunks again, which are epic in making you feel uncomfortable and awkward watching a show.
Absolutely.
But hilarious in the way he no-sells the whole thing. Like, you know what you look like, man, and he never acknowledges it. He comes out there with a Robin Hood top on and look like no pants. Looking like Demi Moore in Ghost with that shirt on. I don't know. It was terrifying.
He quit.
He was done.
He bidded us a fond adieu.
Adieu.
From his great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather,
Bill.
Shakespeare.
Yes. I'm pretty sure that's not true.
It could be true. He is so
good. He was going to go Beverly Hills Shogun was the movie he was going to shoot, which, I'm going to be honest, I would totally go see Beverly Hills Shogun.
I feel like there aren't enough Beverly Hills Shogun movies.
Yes.
I feel like... I have no clue.
You know who should train the Beverly Hills Shogun?
The American Shogun? Tom Cruise?
No, I think...
Wasn't he a Shogun?
No, I'm thinking about the Shogun of Harlem.
Oh.
Shown up.
Yes. Converse, the works.
Kiss the Converse.
Kiss my Converse. Okay. Thunder Rosa versus Marty Bell.
No, Thunder Rosa and Marty Bell
versus Crystal Rose and Brooklyn Creed.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about remembering their names for this match.
This was their squashing time.
Boy, it wasn't really till they let Thunder Rosa out the corner, and she came out there and she
booked strong.
She is booked strong, but she is amazingly good from what I've seen in a couple little brief instances.
Her timing is impeccable.
Yeah, in the ring.
Even the not talking, she does well.
Oh, she's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strange.
The look is good. She's I'm love NWA Power, and I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm just saying this to be honest. She's almost looks like she's almost too good for the company. A little bit. It's like she kind of shines. I see that.
Look at Murdoch, you think he came from the 80s.
Yes.
When you look at her, you think
that
she fits on.
She's now. Right. That girl needs to be in the middle of
something. I get it.
And they are very lucky. And if they're smart, they will tie a rocket ship and try to keep her happy for as long as she can.
Now, she gives a promo in Spanish, which I thought was great, too, because the other girl was her mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Marty Bell was.
I don't know the future holds, but I know what this, you know, that this is, you know, this is bad right here.
Right. Now, okay, Storm and Colt promos. James Storm does a promo where he kind of, I got out of it was, I'm not happy about the way that happened, but I got bigger fish to fry.
I'm going to go after the real nefarious overlord here. I'm not wasting time with his peon, Colt Cabana.
Right.
I'm moving on to the big, which is the whole
I'm
booking.
Going big game hunting.
Yeah, and that was the whole point of the whole booking in the first place, was you get the belt off him so he can go after Nick Aldis and wrestle him, which is why they, and it's good booking, smart booking, and it leads to plot continuity. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's crazy.
And Colt Cabana does a promo after that, and Colt Cabana's so good.
Oh, dude.
It's so.
He's so fluid on the mic, dude.
Stevens winds up interrupting. What happened there?
Ricky Starks ends up interrupting. Not Stevens. Ricky Starks came in.
Okay.
The guy who beat Stevens. So that's what got you. There you go.
Yeah.
He challenges. He was Colt's new. I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was funny. But he challenges Colt for the, you know, now you need a new challenger. You know, mm-hmm. I'm the guy.
Right.
I just took Aaron Stevens and put ran him out of the company.
And so we getting that match?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't know when we're getting that match, but I think that's the next going to be. Well, that kid's got a big upside, too. He's real money. Stevens did a great job putting that kid over, too.
Yeah, and Colt needs somebody he can dance with.
Yeah.
The next match of the day was Dan Parker versus the Question Mark.
The debut.
And it's not that I don't understand who the Question Mark is, although I don't because he wears a mask.
Yes.
That is literally the name of the character is the Question Mark, and he gets his own squash match.
Yes, and I'm going to be honest. I was honest before this, and I'm going to be honest now. I did not catch that his name was actually the Question Mark when they're doing the whole who is the mark things, which have been one of my favorite things from the last, like, every week of NWA has been those commercials, the vignettes they did for him.
Mm-hmm.
But then he comes out and he is hilariously good.
Killed it.
Killed that dude.
Yeah, it was great.
And the crowd popped for it. They loved him.
Now then we wind up with two commercials in here where you have a commercial about the gaming convention, which I love those.
Yes.
And it's going to be Austin Idol and Nick Aldis and all the convention. But the old school video game references and all.
Oh, I loved it. And I'm going to shoot a little bit here. Is it possible that NWA has a better video game right now than WWE?
Ooh, ow. Shoots. The next commercial was the Thunder Rosa series.
Yeah, about her fight, her big fight, her MMA bout.
And we know that she loses.
She loses by decision. She went the distance.
But I am interested to see how they do this because I feel like they're doing a really good job at both the speaking. There's so many guys in this company that speak well in these scenarios. Plus, they've done well with the wrestling part, keeping it simple. Everything's keep it simple, stupid.
Yes.
Now, this is a little more complicated. You're producing a backstage thing.
Yes.
And can they take what was a setback for her in that realm?
Uh-huh.
And turn it into something for us. Because I think it's an easy thing to do. Because
and I think that was one of her... I don't know if that was her first match or one of her early matches. That's not... You went the distance. You didn't get knocked out. You didn't get choked out.
Well, and how hard is she able to train for that when she's full-time?
Yeah, when she's wrestling.
Over here.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot on your plate at one time. Then we get Eli Drake.
Yes.
Giving his little thing. He talks about Camille.
She don't want to talk because she don't want to tell everybody who the only person who can possibly defeat Nick Aldis is. And it is, according to the fans of the show, it's a question mark. But Eli Drake begs to differ.
Yeah, they start chanting question mark over and over again, and then Eli takes that over and runs with it.
Oh, he does run with it, and he's so good. And you know that he did not see it. There's no way you can predict that you're going to question mark chant in that moment, and he ran with it.
Right, and then Latimer and Royce Isaacs come out, and they kind of give Drake the business for a minute, and then Ken Anderson comes out, and he almost yell whispers in Drake's ear something, and it's awkward as it could be.
Yes.
But
which I imagine is what interacting with Ken Anderson is like on a daily basis, like him yell whispering into your ear in front of people.
So many of these guys, I don't know where all, like what regions all these people are from, but this turns into a Southeastern Championship Wrestling with Gordon Soley feel whenever you put these guys around each other. And it was, I like the segment. There wasn't a lot to it. No.
It was
good. Job, it moved, it rolled the ball forward. Okay, and then Tony Falk, Wrestling Farm. Oh, Tony Falk is a wrestling farm. And you can order for $15,000, you can order your own face or heel from his wrestling farm.
He's going to grow it. He's going to train it. He's going to send it to you.
So good.
I
totally get if you think this is silliness, but I really enjoy this stuff.
It's great.
Then we get a Nick Aldis promo about how he's the bar. He's the point of what we do here. He's a dignified champion. He always portrays himself almost.
He's a national treasure, my friend.
Almost to the point of obnoxious. He's so tidy, and yet he says that you have to earn your keep, and everybody earns everything here. So I'm going to hang out during this championship match and make sure there are no shenanigans.
Yes, because that's always how it works.
And it was cool that he used the term shenanigans.
I think shenanigans. I think he's trying to bring it back, and I think it's a great word to use.
I love it.
I love it.
I love the term. So then we get to the tag title match, which winds up being Kingston and Homicide versus Latimer and Royce.
I love. These guys are good.
They're better than Kingston and Homicide.
As tag team right now, yes. And I like Kingston and Homicide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Kingston and Homicide are better talkers.
Yes.
But
those dudes are legit in the ring, man. They can go.
Yes. It was a great little match.
Mm-hmm.
The champs retain. And as that's going on, you have the Dawsons come out. And Cole comes out. And Drake comes out. Storm comes out. I want to say Camille wound up out there. The credits roll. But here's the thing. Every time you ever see this segment, there's fisticuffs.
Always.
There was none.
There was none.
They were literally just yelling at each other.
Everybody was yelling at each other. It was not a bunch of... it was not a Pier 6 brawl. It was more like a, happy-go-lucky port casual conversation.
Pushing, shoving, don't stand too close to me, all that. It was so good. Okay, the reason why that's good is because it's not what you're used to seeing.
That's my point.
And the reason why this show is good is because it takes all those things that were once the cornerstones of an industry.
Yes.
It puts them all together with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, and they give you a unique feel.
They recognize their own joke.
In 45 minutes.
Yeah, they're okay with it.
It doesn't have to be 5 hours to be entertaining.
No.
But don't tell Vince we said that.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, we liked it. You liked it.
Always.
So we're going to move on to the next thing that happened. All right. We're going to do a quick little run through Impact Wrestling, which comes on Tuesday nights. You can watch it right after Power and AEW Dark. AEW did their Dark on Friday of last week, so there wasn't actually an episode for that. We're going to run through this real quick, and then we're going to probably get a little bit more in detail with more voices, because you're only going to hear mine for a second or two, and with more voices later. And Impact Wrestling starts. We have Trey Miguel defeats Petey Williams and Raji, Aiden Prince, Willie Mack. Now, this was a good little matchup for the number one contendership, and Miguel goes over. And this is what Impact is really good at. They're really good at giving you wrestling and storylines. That sounds like it should be simple, but it's necessarily not. Gabby Lauren interviews Rich Swann, and then she interviews Michael Elgin later. And the point of all of that is that both Rich Swann and Michael Elgin believe they deserve title shots. And the funny thing is, they're completely different. I mean, you have a guy that's basically a cruiserweight saying, I deserve a shot at the world title. and another guy who's as big of a heavyweight as there is wanting a shot as well. Of course, everybody wants a shot at the title. But we're setting that up. Madison Rain with Kira Hogan defeats Alexa Nicole. And when Madison Rain does the thing where she has the leader of the locker room on her pants, in some ways she really is. She's a good little wrestler, and they put her in there with people, and the people she's in there with wind up looking good. So that was a good little matchup. And Johnny Swinger takes a dump in the wrong bag. He thought it was Petey Williams. It wound up being Ken Shamrock. So at some point, Ken Shamrock will end Johnny Swinger's life. But it's not today. Ken just walks off thinking that that Johnny Swinger smells really badly, when in reality, it's his bag. RVD promo from the hot tub. Again, he's with the same girl. It's the same spiel, and it's great. We're getting heel RVD for the first time since ECW days. And that's what we want. We want RVD out there giving banger matches. And, oh, somebody told me I'm not supposed to use the term banger. But, okay, out there giving really good matches. Because if I use banger, I'm a boomer, evidently. So I'm going to try not to do that. But I kind of like the word, so I may decide to use it either way. Daga is the next thing that happens. Daga and Jake Crist get after each other, and Daga wins with his Tiger Driver. And Daga is a very good wrestler. And again, you're getting good wrestling on this program. OVE, Sammy and Madman Fulton wound up challenging Rich Swann and Tessa. The belt shot Sammy uses in order to win. Then there's a beatdown afterwards by the OVE. Ohio over everything. And Sammy Madman, his crew, the Ultimate Heels, and Tessa being able to get into these kind of matches, I don't know if people are grasping how hard it is for this to seem normal. And it has become normal on this show that Tessa fights guys in there twice her size. Or Sammy's kind of the same height, but he's bigger, like, all the way around. And she is legitimate in what she's doing. It doesn't feel forced. I can't say enough about where Tessa has gone in the last 8 to 10 months. She's just... I remember seeing her wrestle Ricochet in, like, a going-away indie match. And that was great, but that's Ricochet. Now we're putting her in there with multiple guys, sometimes giants, and she's able to tell the same story any cruiserweight would tell when they get in the ring with a guy like Madman Fulton. Now, as they're getting beaten down, though, when it's over, Cage comes running out, the former world champ, the guy Sammy pinned for the title, and he runs them all out of there. He protects the wounded Swann and Tessa, and he lets you know, I'm not done with Sammy yet either. Now, here's the question. Does that mean... I know he wants a title shot. We've gotten so many people who have now established that they deserve or feel like they deserve a title shot. Cage, obviously being the biggest man in the company and one of the more athletic men in the company and a former world champ, deserves to be in that conversation. But does he have to have the belt, or can he help Tessa get it? Because if he can help Tessa get it, that would be cool, and that could put him into a scenario away from the belt with Sammy, because Sammy, I feel like, is the kind of guy that him being a world champ is great, but I don't think he has to have a world championship to make your show better, and to make almost him without the world championship makes your pay-per-view better, because your card gets extended in matches that matter. Now, Havoc winds up defeating Crystal Moon. She does a full squash match here, and if you're not listening to Don Callis and Matthews on promo, on commentary, you're missing out. Those guys are gold, and they say so many things, and they never called this match like there was a chance anything good could happen for the girl that was wrestling Havoc, which was appropriate. Havoc looked good, she looked strong, and she put her away. Then the main event of the evening winds up being the North over Marufuji and Eddie. And that's great, great match. The North are fantastic at their jobs. Marufuji and Eddie made a good little tag team It was a fun show. It made sense. Now, we're coming up onto next week where you're going to have a five-man elimination match tournament, and I think you need to watch it. Now, we've already rattled off some names that are going to be in it. All these guys that think they deserve a chance, Rich Swann, Michael Elgin, Cage, Tessa, all these people feel like they deserve a shot, and they all do. So we'll see where this goes. It was great. Impact is a very fun, easy television show to watch, and I highly recommend you do if you like pro wrestling. It's great. Now, in a little while, we're going to come back with AEW, and I think you're going to enjoy it. And now, on to AEW. We start out with Moxley versus Michael Nakazawa. And, Jared, what'd you think about that? Wait, let me just let you know we have been joined by New Japan Jared to talk AEW.
Absolutely.
What'd you think about that match, Jared?
It was about 40 seconds long, maybe.
Yes.
Michael Nakazawa, generously 40 seconds. Nakazawa throws away the baby oil. He's serious. He's serious about
Chris Jericho ready. Wearing a Michael Nakazawa t-shirt last week was hilarious.
It was really good. But yeah, squash match.
Fine. Then we get a promo.
It was basically a match to set up a promo, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, they didn't waste a lot of time with it. We got right into promo. What was the promo about?
He put over Kenny for being the only dude willing to face him in the ring, which is cool, but then he basically posted an open challenge to anyone who would be crazy enough to get in the ring with that guy.
Then he said he was going to burn it down.
Yeah, he did say that.
Yes.
But he used different words, but we knew he was giving a wink and a nod to his buddy.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Seth Rollins, AEW confirmed.
Yes, it's going to happen. All of the Shield.
They should do what WWE did with the fake Diesel and the fake...
Oh, man, yeah.
Just get random Simone and random guy that looks like he's got too much hair and come on out there and CrossFit Jesus it. Okay, next thing we got Jurassic Park versus the Dark Order.
It's Jurassic Park Express.
Okay.
They had a hard time sitting through the movie, but they got through it and they went over.
But he couldn't put the raptor in an arm bar.
No, they have tiny arms.
It's difficult. Okay, so maybe it was Jurassic something else.
The Jurassic Express.
Marco Dark Stunt Order. And Jungle Boy version of that.
Yes. Now, I feel like this is the first time the Dark Order have kind of won me over.
Oh, absolutely.
That was my favorite match they've had so far in AEW.
In the post-match where he sits down on one of his minions and invites to join the dark side. I thought all that went well.
Yeah.
And all that led up. Okay, first of all, it was a very good match.
Yeah.
It was
well done. Stunt missed a couple of spots, but he's trying to go 100 miles an hour. That's going to happen. Yeah. And Luchasaurus shows up.
Yeah. Well, after the victory.
Right. Once he's inviting Stunt to the dark side of the force, they brought another mask out, right?
They were going to put him on.
They were going to put it on Jungle Boy. They were trying to force it on, which there's a lot of implications there.
Yes.
I guess we'll get to that at some point. It's a good start. This is, again, the first point where I was like, you know what? I really dug this.
Yeah, they were kind of, that was their best moment.
When he got an opportunity to talk.
Right.
It's amazing.
Well, he's sitting on another dude, and the other ones are like laying there. It's so creepy. Over the top creepy. And his voice was more professional than I thought. A Dark Order, which lends itself to leader.
Yes.
Right?
The dynamic they set up was very good.
Absolutely. Okay, then we wind up with Darby Allin versus Peter Avalon versus Sean Spears. Peter Avalon is the librarian guy.
Yeah.
He starts to give a promo, and
it gets shunned. Weirdly cut off.
Yes.
I don't know what happened there. You know what? I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with
it. He's the master of cheap heat. I mean, he just...
Yeah. Yeah, it wound up being fine. There's a little bit of a back and forth in what is an actual three-way thing, and then Spears gets interrupted with Joey.
Joey Janela comes out there, and
I guess they're continuing that feud. But they did say something that was very strange: that three triple threat matches are no DQ. Commentary said that.
Yes, they're not.
They're not no DQ. Or
no, they are. They're all triple threat matches for some. And I thought that
really?
Was. I've always thought that was weird because some that reason they said, and WWE does it the same way. Triple threat matches or no DQ matches. For some weird reason, because for some reason you can't have rules if you have more than two individuals.
It's too much for a referee to see.
Too much for a referee to keep track of. So we're just going to get rid of the rules. Seems to be the general philosophy. Yes.
That's the way laws should work.
Well,
that's
also,
the way
it works. In the same
it's only
sense.
Murder if it's only two people. If there's three people, we don't know who did it.
Right. Also, in the same sense, who would win? Would the person who hit the other one with the chair, would they just lose?
That is a valid point. A disqualification results in someone losing and someone winning.
Yeah.
If it's a three-way match.
It just revolves in somebody losing.
Would they just be removed from the match? Whatever. Anyway, the point is, Peter Avalon takes a coffin drop. Darby Allin goes over because Spears.
And again, we're setting up a promo. We set up Spears versus Janela, and we set up the promo for Darby to let Mox know he's all in. I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yeah.
Four words. John Moxley, I accept. That's it.
Yes.
That's all he needed. It was awesome.
Thought it was, I'll be your awesome. Huckleberry.
Yes.
Oh.
That's
Darby Allin.
I'll be Huckleberry.
Darby Allin.
Darby Allin.
I respect your decision, but please do not break your spine on the next pay-per-view, whatever it
no,
is.
No, isn't it next week?
Yeah.
Do not break your spine next week.
Yes.
There we go. Okay, Nyla Rose versus Donnie Jordan.
It's a job.
Squash.
That's a beating.
She went over, though, in the way she should in that scenario. We're making her look strong because she's probably going to approach the title scene again.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Schiavone interviews Allie, and this is actually a setup for Awesome Kong.
The Hair Hunter.
The Hair Hunter. Which is interesting.
Cool.
Is that voodoo-esque?
It's sympathetic magic. You take somebody's, you know, a piece of their self, and then you can cast magic through it. Then you put it on like a voodoo doll, and then you stick stickers in it.
But those were extensions.
Yes. So you're some poor lady in Asia who made that extension in a factory. It's going to get a stabbing pain in her neck.
Randy Rhodes!
Why?
Why?
I did nothing. I made a wig. I made extensions.
Okay, but anyway, so Brandy is now in control of Awesome Kong, who is in control of the hair of her victims.
Yes.
It was a cool intro.
Which kind of harkens to scalping or whatever.
It's very voodoo. I don't know why Brandy Rhodes is now practicing voodoo. But
I don't know what happened.
I'm okay with it because she's not wrestling.
Maybe.
Cody's had a rough couple weeks. His wife turned to voodoo.
Yes.
His friend
How is Cody not mentioning this? How is this not making the show? Your wife is all of a sudden practicing dark magic and summoning other wrestlers, and you're just...
He's hoping nobody will notice.
Nobody will notice.
He's got his own set of problems.
Yeah.
You know?
Why didn't you have Awesome Kong jump Chris Jericho? Is my question.
That's a good question, too.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing was Jericho doing a promo. He's gold. He cannot commit crimes here in this AEW arena, no matter how mean he is.
Well, because he's hilariously mean.
He's just too good.
I mean...
Yeah, he's too good. He's too good on the mic right now. Now, what winds up happening is we get the Cody Rhodes intro.
Cody Rhodes is obviously come out here to confront Chris Jericho.
All of us are fooled. Can we agree on that?
Yes, because I was totally rolling my eyes at the Cody Rhodes super entrance.
I was like, can't you do a run-in?
And MJF comes out.
Oh, my God. He starts doing the Cody, like, pumping up the crowd thing mockingly.
So good.
He's so mocking.
He is. He's a mocker.
Very mocker.
Just naturally.
He is a mocker. And so him and Jericho get into it, and Jericho implies that he wants to join.
MJF implies that Jericho wants him to join.
And that
sounds
goes
like
back
you want
forth.
Me to join your inner circle.
And it's funny, and then they get to where...
I love how they let themselves riff on each... They let them riff on each other. Like, Jericho didn't immediately jump in when he started making, like, jokes at his expense, and he didn't... You know, they were...
Correct.
It was... they understood it was a verbal sparring session.
I'll let you get yours in.
Yeah.
You're gonna let me get mine in. And then Jericho trumps him with the... Your parents got excited after watching me beat up Juventud Guerrero, and that's how you became a man.
9 months later, you popped out.
Right, and which was gold.
Yes.
And then they get back and forth with the, you're the biggest, what is it, jackass?
No, it was, you know, it sounded like you want me, and they kept going back with that. But I know, one thing we can't agree on is we both know who the biggest jackass is. I'll say it, you say it, I'll say it, you say it.
Cody Rhodes!
Yes!
Perfect time. Yes. And so then, of course, Cody has been hearkened, summoned, because he wasn't there, according to MJF, but he was, because he was summoned from the gods.
Brandy summoned him, like Kong.
From hair.
Yes.
Allie's hair was blonde, so Cody just slid in there. It all makes sense.
Yes.
Now you're thinking.
Now
this is booking.
Right. And so Cody sprints by security in his concussed state, slides into the ring, gets the better of the two men. Then
Warlord
appears, and we don't know. I don't think we know yet whether or not MJF is joining.
I don't think
Jericho.
I would say no, but they're teasing it.
Yeah, but Warlord is definitely with MJF because he had the same.
And he needs to be.
He had his sweater. He had
choked him out with a scarf.
They choked Cody with a scarf, and it looks like MJF has his own oversized minion.
Big heater.
Much better word.
I like it.
Intimidating. Intimidating. And it worked. It worked so well. The whole segment worked. We cut to commercial. We come back and we have Hangman and Pac. Hangman versus Pac. They get into a fight.
In the rubber match, even though there's four matches in the series.
The rubber match.
The first one doesn't count.
Yes, for some reason.
Win-loss records.
But these two guys, again, I was not a huge Hangman. I saw the potential, but I didn't always see it in the match work. You know, but in these matches with Pac, he's just looked better and better and better.
Just looks like a star.
And Pac, man, that dude.
Unreal.
It's almost like they've got Pac taking Hangman through school right now in the public eye.
I think so, yeah.
And it's...
Or at least Hangman's been smart enough to use it as that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's such a big opportunity for him to learn.
It'll be interesting to see now if this is really over. We know Pac moves on to bigger and better things. What do we do with Hangman?
Mm-hmm.
Does he wind up into some kind of... Hagar's done nothing yet.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
That's the one guy that's kind of out there waiting to be in a fight with somebody.
And, and they were going at it a couple times. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe that's where we go with this.
Oh, it could be good. That could be real good.
And Hagar can work.
Oh, dude, he's a great worker.
He is a great worker.
And Pac had the best... I love his finish here where he went for the black arrow to his back. And then worked right into the Brutalizer transition.
Dude.
It was so slick.
Perfect. Every time he does that, it looks extremely brutal.
Yeah.
Because he did that on Austin Aries, and it was brutal. And he does that on everybody else, and it's brutal.
And it was and yeah.
he stomps
his head into the floor for like 30 solid seconds.
It was great.
He gives you that feeling, I have no concern for this person at all.
When he's actually one of the safest workers you'll ever see, if you watch his moves, he's really safe.
He catches people.
He protects people.
He barely touches them, but it looks so good. Right.
Yeah, he's high on there.
Now, Santana and Ortiz in a backstage segment with the Young Bucks.
The best!
Everything goes crazy. Orange Cassidy has his central part. What?
I don't know.
What?
He was there for like maximum.
No,
10
you
seconds.
Don't get the I joke feel like that he Kevin owned. Perkins is making.
I think he owned that segment.
Oh, it was beautiful.
That was the segment. Beautiful. That was the part of the segment that got popular.
Yeah,
but
I will say that
the reality of it is Santana and Ortiz. That was a good little backstage fight.
Oh yeah, and then Brandon Cutler came in and convinced them to see the error of their ways and that. Continuing to brutalize the poor Young Bucks was a poor choice and unsportsmanlike, and they decided
to be good sports.
They decided to be good sports and leave. I believed at first, but apparently I was fooled by their ruse.
You learned that you were fooled when Ortiz specifically told you he lied.
We lied! I love those guys
How much easier would life be if people just told you they were lying when they lied to you? Ortiz is cutting-edge humanitarian.
Yes.
Nobody knows that.
No one knows that now.
He's telling you.
Thank you. And so we wind up, he throws them through the, they paint a circle on the ground to let you know where he's going.
That was actually before that. Cool. But yeah, that was a cool spot. Yeah.
Put him through there. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. So then we're going to go on to the tag team title match in which SCU fights Jericho and Sammy
Guevara.
Guevara, how do we feel about it?
I thought it was a great match.
I thought it was really fun.
I thought it was Scorpio Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Really got to show out. And, man, come on, Frankie Kazarian still.
And they go over.
Yes. Christopher Daniels.
Yeah, Christopher Daniels. Importantly, Jericho is pinned.
Yes, the first time. But that, again, I tweeted. I texted. That's the biggest win of Scorpio Sky's career.
Remember when Jericho said specifically, "You're never getting a shot at this, Scorpio Sky. You're never getting a shot at this."
Mm-hmm. And that was perfect.
Yeah,
that's that long term storytelling
we're talking about right there.
And can they do a thing where we do Freebird rules and
Yeah.
SCU defend the belts with the other two guys.
That's what they've done that before when they've held belts in other places. Yeah. That could be, yeah.
I mean, I think they could do it.
But notice, too.
They haven't enforced any other rules.
I will point out, you had a faction versus two single stars who are in a faction but just recently got in a faction, and the tag team specialist won.
It makes sense.
That's crazy. It's almost like...
Now, I forget, what did... The Fallen Angel showed up in a mask?
No, that was the other match against... that was against...
I'm sorry.
No, that was...
I watched a lot of wrestling this
week. Oh, we all do, dude. I was thinking the same thing for a second. Shades of his old Suicide run. For those of you who don't know that Suicide was once Christopher Daniels. I don't know who it is now.
Wasn't he TJP for a little while?
I don't know if it was... I think a lot of people have been Suicide at some point. That character.
Right.
From the worst... Well, maybe second worst video game ever made. Wrestling video game ever made.
So
TNA video game is specifically made characters for it.
Oh man!
Overall impressions of the show, Jerry.
Top to bottom, another great episode. It moved a lot of stuff along. Was still good wrestling.
You know where everything's going?
Generally, I'm open to being surprised with a couple things, but I can generally get surprises. The image.
Yeah,
but good surprises.
It feels like to me. It feels like a show in fast forward.
Yeah, yes, it did not feel at all like 2 hours.
But even the matches, they all feel faster. Like even, like we said earlier about the pay-per-view, sometimes there's a muff here, a muff there. Jericho's running with the belt to hit Cody, and they kind of just collide when it's supposed to be a flip. But it was happening fast.
And they just keep going.
Marco's stunt happened fast, so something went wrong. Whatever. We're doing all these things quickly.
I'm six moves ahead by now. You've forgotten I missed that move.
Right. Right, correct. Ray, what did you think about the episode?
I thought, in general, the episode was good. Really solid.
Really solid.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Justin, what did you think?
I think you begin to see, again, they've got room for growth in some spots, but you can see so much potential, and you see they get better, a little tighter. It's a little tighter every week as far as, like, presentation and how we hit our marks and everything, and... Even though we had a couple wrestling mistakes, verbal-wise, camera-work-wise, I didn't. Yeah. There was a lot less of those glaring errors there, and the promo work was just...
They've got good promo.
Their promo work
giving
last
guys mics.
2 weeks in a row has been superb. And I'm not a Cody Rhodes mark, but he gave a great promo.
One thing that I will give, actually two things that I will give AEW today. They made the Dark Order interesting, and they made Brandi Rhodes halfway decent.
high praise indeed.
High praise from the Go Home.
But wow. No,
that's not it at all. Wait.
Well, if the Go Home Heat kid liked it, then I think we all liked it. So for KP, for New Japan Jared, for the Go Home Heat kid Ray, from Jushin Thunder Brains... I'm going to take this thing home. Copyright 2019. Go home.